Hey. Unpopular opinion, but in my opinion, people like Piper and Brendan and Chris C, they're doing it right. You know, they got burned, which sucks for them. But in this world, if you're not looking out for yourself, trying to do what's best for you and using other people to your advantage, then you're doing it wrong, because there's only one life to live and everyone else is looking out for themselves. So you gotta look out for yourself. Number one.
Yeah. Wait a minute. But would you, Craig, say you... that getting...
Are you trolling us right now?
No, that's
well,
how I feel.
I think Craig genuinely feels this way, but my real question here is, what do you think about them getting caught doing it? Because to
they
be honest,
they gotten caught. If you're everyone, not cheating, you're trying. Wait.
Right.
If you're not,
everyone
if you're
on
not
this
cheating,
island.
You're not trying.
Island.
And it's only cheating if you get caught.
Oh, Craig.
Okay.
Oh no.
This educator. Here's Craig.
Yeah.
Who is supposed to be some kind of moral compass.
No, I never have been the moral compass. There's no moral compass.
You are a teacher is supposed to be an unofficial moral compass.
No, I'm like Ice Cube.
Unofficiated.
Oh. When he said, I'm no role model.
So when you teach students, you're like, don't do any of this shit.
Well, first of all,
like,
when I assign,
I'll do it,
when I make assignments, assignments are set up so you can't cheat, because like if you set up the assignments right, there's A, not a need to cheat, and B, no way to cheat. See, it takes extra work by the instructor to do it that way. But
now, what you mean, because I have certain assignments when I teach where it's like, for you to cheat on this would be very, very hard to do.
Yeah, exactly. See?
It would require you like definitely commissioning a person who actually knows what they're talking about. You can't find this on the internet kind of stuff. But see, Craig, first of all, I fundamentally, you know, some of the stuff I teach is ethics. Right. So I'm not going to agree with you on a lot of these things in terms of, yes, you need to do what is going to make you happy. But also, if you're going to set up one of these kind of situations, you should make sure that the person who's on the losing end of this is a willing participant. And they may or may not be in some
cases. That sounds too ethical to me. I don't know.
Yeah, that's way too ethical
but
for you.
Craig,
you know what I mean? Like, you don't want to just be screwing over somebody else solely.
Well, I think that's what I'm saying, though. It's like, in this world, you get one life. And there's winners and there's losers. And you're either a winner or you're a loser.
Craig, all these people are losers,
people
though.
To have a good life. I don't get that
so
at all.
Brendan,
wait a minute, Craig.
There's
something there, though. But these people are the losers because they're not doing it right. Everyone else on that beach is doing it right because they're actually getting, like, they look good on TV. And these three that you called out for doing it, period, aren't doing it right. Isn't that?
Yeah, no, I've been thinking about that too. They got caught and they got penalized. Their Instagram followers are way down. So you're right. You're right.
Yeah, because none of them, well, all right. These are sort of different circumstances, but I have to say, in particular with Brendan and Piper, for all of their like clearly scheming, planning stuff, they did not plan very well. They did not think about any sort of details. They did not actually come up with a believable story for what they would say when somebody said, like, I thought you were dating this other person. So it's very odd to me that they were like, we got away with this. And it was like, no, you didn't. Everyone knows that you planned this specifically. And you even said this shit on mic, on TV. Right. Like,
that's why none of this makes sense. If this was a movie, if Brendan and Piper were a movie, I wouldn't understand the plot of the movie. I mean, if it's a heist movie, they did it all wrong.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. These are not people you want to hire for like a murder because they're idiots. And they're like, I seriously had like a, like, again, I guess we bring it up kind of, I bring it up all the time, but like Piper is Michael Scott. Like, she is the lowest, like mentally, just how like low level functioning are you?
You mean from the office?
Yes, from the office. Like, this was cringe, and it was like, get the damn hint. And she wouldn't. And she just was like, wait a minute. What's real again? It's like, what?
Well, she doubled down, to the point too, where on I'm her almost like, yeah. Instagram stories. She the next morning, she was like all like defiant and stuff.
So,
she deleted some of those because the response was not great.
Yeah.
So, I made sure to screenshot I just got a few that reality TV isn't real, that it's edited, even though this is very raw footage. And
that's what she posted.
I'm just kind of paraphrasing what she posted. Yeah. You can't show your conversations that happened before filming between friends. I mean, are you talking about Brendan and you? And it's a lighthearted show that.
This
for good TV.
Mm-hmm. This is all really fascinating radio you're doing here. But to my point,
well, I wanted to make sure we got her weird ass. Like, it's kind of a double down, and it was kind of like I respect everyone. I don't know what everyone's like all up and up about. Like, you know.
Well, shouldn't we be rooting for Brendan and Piper and Chrissy and Elena or whatever her name is?
First of all, Chrissy and Elena even? Who are these people? So no, I'm not rooting for them.
I mean, it's like we watch the show and we're supposed to side with the people that are like, A, oh, this show, you know, this is paradise. Anything goes. You never know what's going to happen. And then B, you're like, there's rules and you broke the rules and you didn't want to get off the beach.
So like, you're talking about, a minute. That there was... That's two different things you said. Just to make sure we're really clear here.
I know those are two different things I said.
You're saying, no, what I'm saying is that you're talking about there are reality TV show Bachelor in Paradise rules. And the second part of what you said was like humanity rules, like ethical concerns that they had. That's way different. That was the concerns.
I think I should know better than to raise an argument against you two. But isn't like, think about how quickly Bachelor Nation turned on Brendan, right? Like his Instagram followers like halved, you know, overnight or something like that. For what? For playing the game. So
it's not just that he played the game. I think for me, it wasn't as much that he went on this show already having a romantic connection with somebody who you knew was coming on, because several of them do that.
Why are you in paradise?
But the thing that really made me be like, wow, I hate him when I was watching the show, is the way he spoke about Natasha in that scene where he's basically like, first of all, he implies that nobody would have ever given her a rose otherwise, that he's doing her a favor by doing this, right? Mm-hmm. That, like, of course, no one else could ever possibly be interested. And it's like, what? This beach is full of men who would, I mean, especially that first week, think of all the bozos who are on the beach then who would have given Natasha a rose if she'd even said hello to them.
Yeah, and you know what? She'd be using those guys for a rose.
Yes. But he's saying, like, Natasha is not good enough to even do that, yeah, basically.
I mean, what he says is not good, and it's shrouded in racism. So,
yes,
yeah, I agree.
And he goes on to basically, like, he tells Piper at one point that he's so annoyed that Natasha is even still there. He basically wanted her to, like, self-eliminate the second Piper showed up, which, what the hell? Why would she do that?
But doesn't change the fact that if the roles reversed, she would have done the exact same thing. She would have used the guy for a rose to stick around until her fancy came down.
I kind of agree with you there, Craig, because the way Brendan got cornered was, you know, it was the way Chris got cornered a little light, right? So when you get cornered, you start lashing out. And I think those things that he said were actually really human. Like, were the most human things that he did. Everything else was like, I would never, I kept thinking I would never do that. Oh my God, look at the shit they're in. But when he said those things, I was like, yeah, I can see feeling like that. Feeling like, oh man, I'm finally my, because he said it himself. He's not good at manipulating. He's not really good at lying. We've seen that for 3 weeks now, right? He's really, really bad at convincing anyone he's into them when he's waiting for someone. And so all those things he said were very I felt like there was a lot of relief there and a lot of justifying. And I thought that was like a little bit more like, okay, this guy is kind of trying to like, it reminded me of when Greg finally let go of all that, those fake pretenses that, you know, oh, Katie, I'm so insecure when I'm around you. And then he's like, look, I'm way hotter than you. I deserve so much. How could you ever even look in my direction? Like, you know, that's how Brendan feels. I don't know. Like, I can, that's a very human feeling. I felt like I was very like, okay, right there. I get you. But everything else you did is pretty horrible.
See, I'm kind of the reverse of that. I think everything you did was great, except for that, which was horrible.
Well, I definitely feel for, I've been, you know, I put myself in Natasha's shoes as well. And I was like, fuck this guy. But in that one moment, I was like, oh yeah. You know, like when you feel like that, you're already, you know, the snowball is rolling. You're going to add to it. And so Natasha, I mean, of course, she's the most sympathetic one.
No, the most sympathetic one is Yesenia. Don't get me started on that.
I mean, just like they said, Yesenia and Natasha are kind of the same. But I see a lot now of like, now Natasha, quote, deserves to be the Bachelorette. That's going a little far.
Yes. You know my rant on deserving love. Like, you know, yes. I've said this many times on this podcast.
Yeah.
Do our listeners need a refresh?
No, Craig. No.
Well, do a one sentence refresh.
Oh, it's just who honestly deserves love? What did you save a dying baby from a fire? Did you win a Nobel Prize for some amazing medication that you developed? What have you done to deserve love?
Any of those things I think those are different realms of things. Anyway,
well, I also think the Natasha, like, the chatter on social media about her deserving to be the Bachelorette is different than saying she deserves love, right? Like, they're basically saying now she's been wronged in a way in this franchise, and the reward should be more exposure and more TV time. I don't think she's honestly going to be the Bachelorette because they still have these other seasons where you're going to have people on it who might become the star of that season or whatever, you know, like it seems unlikely, but I think that's what's happening is they're like, people watch and they get so outraged at the way that, like, yeah, for me, it was the stuff that he said to her more than the,
that actually piqued your rage.
But it was actual gaslighting this time. I know, like, we often say it isn't, but some of the stuff he said to her, I mean, at one point he says, you're choosing to have selective hearing about things that you said in the past, right? Even though he says it, he's like, well, it was always a friendship, Rose. I told you that. And she's like, yeah, you never told me that. And he goes, you're right. I didn't tell you that. And it's like, what the hell?
Yeah, that conversation was pretty funny.
As he's later said, he was so annoyed. He was just trying to get out of it. And yeah. I've been there. I've been like, fuck you. I don't care what I said. I'm done. No.
I've been meaning to ask. I kind of had that. Uh-huh. Have you ever been at a party and then with somebody and then another lady or a guy walks in and starts making out with you and it ruins
Wait. I'm not done with this. I'm not done with Brendan Piper.
Okay. Because chew on that because I want stories.
Okay. So here is, so yeah, I just, we're saying right now, I don't in this franchise, being the Bachelorette is equated with, quote, deserve, or being the lead is equated with deserving love. That's the only reason Becca got the Bachelorette. That's the reason there's a lot of spurned people, and I've told Craig in the past, because of this, that's how the whole trading off a contestant being the lead and then the next contestant being the lead started because of a spurned situation. Yeah. So that's why it's brought up, like, in terms of, you know, deserving. So here is what I feel is the conversation Brendan probably actually had with Piper before leaving, and she is just too dense to remember and to, like, understand. And then she needed it again on camera with mics on, which is, God, you couldn't be more.
Certain things that had to be done and certain ways to navigate this to bring us to this particular moment. Like, I can't have a girlfriend, like, entering this whole journey that's just like, you have a full girlfriend going into paradise. It's just like not a good look. So if I tell everyone, hey, Piper might be coming, so nobody talk to me, I'm gonna be sitting tanning,
that would be awkward.
And then what would just happen is, you know, I'll go home,
yeah, and then I'd be here just
excited. I get it now. Yeah. I get it
so
now.
Obviously I was navigating this in a way to allow myself to potentially, hopefully, be here while you're here.
I get it.
Oh my God, that took her so long to get. Why? If she was just as, if they were just as smart as Chris and Alana seem to be, or at, you know, at best, that's not true. At worst, that's probably what happened with those two.
Right.
Then they could have gotten out of this with a lot of doubt. But she's just like, why are you not treating me like a girlfriend right now? And he's like, like, he does like a real, like, his mouth wants to keep shut, but his brain is like, I like her, so I need to tell her, but she's a doofus. Like, she reminded me of, I like Kronk on Emperor's New Groove. I have no other, like,
what about, does she remind like you of Doofus Rick from Rick and Morty?
I've never seen that show, really.
I've never seen that show.
Let me just say, the season finale was devastatingly good.
All right.
So good. Some of our listeners will know what I'm talking about. After a bad season, bad fifth season, the season finale was amazing.
Some of our listeners will be aware of this.
Yes. Two of our listeners will know what I'm talking about.
It's a very famous show. Here's the thing that throughout this whole thing, Joe, I want to say, almost accuses Natasha of being like, come on, you knew this was going to happen. And I was kind of like, yeah, she did. Maybe she did that thing that women do, that I've done, where you ignore a red flag very
hardly. What are you, but Donald Trump?
I couldn't, very hard.
This is what you're hardly.
Yeah, well, you know what I meant. But he's right. Joe is like broken clock right, because I don't like him now either.
Ooh.
Yeah, everyone knew. Everyone on the beach knew. She knew. She felt it firsthand. Like, there was actual evidence, and she acted more shocked than she should have acted. I thought that was weird. I thought that was a little bit of what's going on? How come she is acting so blindsided?
Right.
I think that, yeah, I mean, there's a possibility it could be the thing you're saying that I've also experienced, where it's like, well, you just like somebody, so you choose to ignore the things that are cropping up that are like, oh, that doesn't add up, or that's a gigantic red flag. I think she knew that he had something with Piper. The nature of the thing was sort of, you know, you didn't know exactly. Was it flirting only mildly? Were they actually dating? You know, like, there could have been a whole realm of things in between there. But I think she was also surprised, because I certainly was, that when Piper came down, this was another one of their key mistakes as being, you know, I think they're talking to each other on the loungers later, and they're like, we're so smart. And it's like, you guys are idiots. You're total idiots. Because when Piper arrives with the date card, the smart move, if you wanted to get away with this plan, would be for her to pull a bunch of guys and talk to them. Yeah. And then
everyone says it. Everyone's like, "Why?"
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, even what's his name? Brendan was like, "Well, you did that so early, so fast."
She doesn't even say hello to any of them, right? Like, she literally comes down, says what the card is, and it's like, "It's Brendan." You know?
Yeah. Why? I don't understand. Like, why does he? Okay, so like now my question is, why does he still like her after being so dense?
Yeah,
I would lose total respect.
I'm on board with that, EZR.
Just like Alana, kind of like stop liking Chris the second they had enemies. That would be me.
That was amazing.
Like, this whole thing sucks. You guys, if I was Brendan, I'd be like, okay, show's over. You don't know how to like act in the world. Something is really wrong with you. So I guess,
it's just confusing, right? That like, and the fact that they did not get.
She's a model, and she's gotten. She's just not smart.
Didn't she go to graduate school at Oregon or something?
Yeah, she was doing nothing. Something. I can't remember what it was, but yeah, she wasn't a graduate school program. But yeah, I don't know. This, what was confusing to me, right, is that both she seemingly had no idea how to make it act like she was not already dating Brendan when she came in for TV.
Right. Yeah.
Not only that she needed him to explain it, she didn't pull any of the other guys, but when Natasha pulls her for the, you know, and this is the smart move by Natasha, is like, get them separate to get Piper's story. So you can compare what Piper's telling you to what Brendan's already told you side by side and be like, here are the lies. You know, is that it made it obvious that if they had come up with a story together, they didn't stick to it because it was so much like, you know, Piper being like, well, yeah, I saw him the night before he left. Yes, I visited him like in Boston. We've dated like 20 times. Or, you know what I mean? It was like a wild amount of information that she was putting out there that was just like, I don't understand how on earth you could go on this show and you've been on the main show and you know that everything is caught by microphones and is on camera at all times. And say these kinds of things and not expect to come out looking the way that you came out looking, you know? Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's because...
neither one of us are stupid.
That is Piper saying that.
Yes. When she said that, I literally, like, said out loud on my TV, like, you're both so stupid. Like, that part towards the end of Monday night's episode when Brendan tries to cover up his microphone to say something, and it's like, dog, first of all, Piper's mic is still on and uncovered, so they're going to be able to hear you on that. And if you have not realized by now that these producers are going to use whatever technology they can to enhance your muffled mic, you are an idiot. You know, like, the moment you signal that you do not want something to be on camera, that's the moment they most want to be on camera. So they were absolutely always going to catch that.
Right. Right.
Well, there's no, like, I mean... taking that into account, what Piper did was 20 times that in stupidity. So I can't even, like, that didn't even register compared to the rest of it. I was like totally taken aback with like, this person, how does this person function in the world? Which is how I feel, which is how everyone feels about Michael Scott, right? Like, how did this person like get to be a middle-aged person? How did she get to be 20? Yeah. Like, she's just like, anywhere else in the world, any other time in the world, she would have been dead, like trampled by now. This just makes no sense. It's just
Michael Scott is a fictional character, right?
We've known people like that, right? There's Piper on TV.
I'm just making making sure, because you watch WWE and you could be confused by The Office that it's actually real.
The reason it resonated so much is because people like that actually exist, and it like makes sense to people, and it's a new trope because it's like baffling, and it's still baffling me 20 years later.
Gotcha.
Did y'all catch that Piper also let slip that some other people who were on the beach knew exactly what the Piper and Brendan plan was as well? Because she let that slip on camera too. So she said, I'm going to my notes to see if I wrote down the exact quote. Because it's after their date. It's like the next day when they're hanging out. Yes. So she mentions that she says Serena had told Piper that her name would get mentioned so many times in the show, and she would get so much airtime before she even touched the sand of the beach. My assumption here is that she means Serena C and not Serena P, because looking at their social media, she hangs out with Serena C all the time.
They're roommates.
But for a moment, I thought it was Serena P, and I was like, oh, no, this is so spicy. Yeah, what did she know, and when did she know it? You know.
And Serena P went home to and was able to tell her in that time before Piper came on, right? So there was time when they could communicate.
So I think it was Serena C who left earlier and specifically was like, everyone's talking about you on the beach, you know, and also, you know, knew the exact plan then too.
Which Serena is she roommates with? Because she's roommates with
Serena C. Chu. Right. Serena Chu. The one who is not on Serena currently left. But was earlier.
Right. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yes. But yeah, that was also interesting to me.
But that doesn't, that makes sense. Like, it's not like anyone there kept a secret, you know? I mean, someone who is outraged did not keep a secret. Okay. Craig, in transition into Chris, Jasenia, Alana. Alana? Yeah. yeah, it sucks to get dumped at like an H&M concert.
Well, it's
like
it's amazing.
That music was horrendous. Like, it was like the kind you listen to at like Forever 20, like at the mall. I don't know, but that's gotta suck.
Do we have to talk about the dance? Because it really was just like the most awful thing ever. Just what they put together. It's a
tight ass party, as we're told multiple times.
It made no sense. Like, it felt so thrown together last minute because they wanted to make sure this happened. And it was, it was bad. No, we don't have to talk about it.
Yeah.
And the producers messed up. They should have brought everyone, the entire cast in on the party, in my opinion. But they chose to only bring in some.
Well, I think
they should have just brought all the men.
Yeah, they could have done all the men, and that would have worked.
Like the way Love Island does.
Is they wanted to do the sort of thing that, like, we see that scene where Marissa freaks out because Riley is not there. I think they wanted that with everybody, where she's crying on the beach and Serena's hugging her. And it's like, and you know, then you flash over to Riley being the most innocent man on earth at the party, not flirting with anybody, right?
Yeah.
But I think they wanted that sort of thing. They wanted to separate folks to make them worry about, like, what the other people were doing with them.
Yeah, there's no question that's what they were thinking. I feel like they screwed up. They should have just gone the other way. But, okay, so have you ever gone to a party with somebody and then another flame walks in and starts making out with you in front of that other person?
No. That has never happened to me.
That's happened to me the other way, where the guy that was interested in me, but no, wait, this is not someone I was dating. He was just interested in me. I actually had a boyfriend back, you know, at home. And then a guy that walked in, I had been interested in for many years. And then I was like, hey, there he is. And then the guy that had a crush on me got very sad in the corner.
Aww.
And I was like, dude, I can't deal with this shit. So I just went home.
You went home.
Then I was like, what am I doing? Like, talking to the guy that I have a crush on. And that obviously would cheat on his own girlfriend tonight, and then I have a boyfriend. It just sounded like a mess.
See, that's where ethics,
I'm going home.
The guiding light steered you wrong. Steered you wrong.
I don't regret it.
Craig, of us care about other people's feelings, and that's not wrong.
And that's the problem. That right there, that's the problem.
Well, I think also part of the reason for me why I think this type of situation that you're alluding to has never come up is that I usually do not like more than one person at a time. That it's sort of like, well, if I'm into somebody, then my attention is there. And I'm not usually like, what if another person I was interested in happened to arrive at this party?
Yeah, I hear you.
Well, that's why everyone accused them of pre-planning, because that is a very weird thing to have happen, except for on Paradise. So yeah, there's like gray area there where we do not know how much they planned. I think they did plan, but I don't think they did as much as Brendan and Piper. And so Natasha has a point, but obviously Brendan is not getting accused the way Chris is, because Brendan is a bro with them. Like, Brendan is their friend. That's the difference. There's no difference in terms of slighting somebody.
Yes. 1,000 times yes, because from my perception, I mean, we know for a fact that Chris and Elena knew each other before Paradise, because Jasenia says it, one of her two camera things.
Right.
At that same hangout where Jasenia also hung out with Chris, Elena was also there, and Jasenia said she thought Elena was throwing herself at Chris at this hangout. And then we hear from Elena in one of her things that, you know, they've met up several times, apparently. They definitely know each other. I don't think they were full out dating. I think they were like flirty, hooking up friends who had met a few times and had a similar idea of like, well, let's just move this on over to Paradise since we're going to go there. But that what Brendan and Piper had was much more, you know, long lasting and in depth than what it seems like Chrissy and Elena did.
I agree. So, I don't think Chrissy had any. I'll just amend what I think onto what you said. I think Chrissy didn't really have much of a hand in this at all, because Elena, it turns out, doesn't really like Chrissy at all. She can't to be around him.
Interesting.
The actual sweet irony of this all is that Chrissy might have used Jasenia because she made it farther in the season, therefore had more Instagram followers and more clout. But maybe Alana was using Chris to make new friends and do the clout thing. And then when he lost that because, you know, he slighted her, now she's like, F you.
Exactly.
But that's pretty hilarious. Wait.
She knew Chrissy was going to go on Bachelor in Paradise, so that's why she was throwing herself at him. She was using Chrissy.
Yes, it could be.
She was more calculated than Chris was in this. Yeah. I think Chris had met several of these women in advance. He thought they were all cute. He was into all of them, right? And when this situation happened, I mean, first of all, I was like, Chris is again, an idiot, in the same way we're discussing with Brendan and Piper, in that Jasenia is also at this party. He starts making out with Alana like 1 second into the party. You know, it's like she walks in and 1 minute later they're like full on, like he's eating her face, you know. And then of course the producers send Jasenia down the hallway so she sees it, and he sees that Jasenia sees it, but chooses not to talk to her about it right then, but instead to wait a little bit, then talk to her, then to make out with Alana again on the dance floor in front of like everybody, which makes him look horrible, obviously. Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, because they're all like, you're just dating Jasenia, what the hell?
What was the egregious part, though? I think what he thought is like, it's Bachelor in Paradise, anything goes. And I like his like go-to thing was to cry when he got confronted, like the way women are accused of doing all the time. It was really weird. But then he also does this thing where he, you know, he goes off like the way Bachelor in Paradise people do and just go like, well, you know, maybe I'm forming a deeper connection, and tries to do the whole go through the motions of what everyone does. But then when he's full on making out with her on the dance floor, as if a conversation was had with Jasenia that wasn't, that's where I think Riley and Jasenia have right, capital R, on their side. Craig. But
yeah, Craig, I think that's what got them bigger, particularly angry too, especially Riley, since he witnessed it and then is one of, you know, the ringleaders later on, is knowing the fact that like it was, to everyone's understanding, he was into Jesenia and things were going great. And then all of a sudden he's making out this other woman 0.1 seconds into meeting her and literally in front of everyone else, which made them be like, wow, that's so rude. That's so disrespectful because you didn't even like break up with Jesenia before you did this.
Right. Yeah.
Well, but okay. So last week, Craig, I asked, do people in because I saw a few comments, people in Bachelor Nation think Chris is gay.
Yes. And we got into an argument about that.
We can't even discuss that. We can't even talk about what
Bachelor Nation is talking about. It's not our place to discuss that.
A Bachelor podcast. That's not what I asked, though. I asked whether other people were questioning sexuality. Yeah. Yes, rewind the tape. Because that's exactly, I said, are people questioning?
All right.
And I said, I bring it up because it was weird to me. And these are my exact words. I quote, I have that question because something was off because he did not want to kiss Jesenia. And you're like, oh.
So what you're saying is it's not that because he's gay. It's because he was waiting for Elena.
Well, so I went back to last week's episode of Bachelor in Paradise to cut out where I was kind of like, why isn't he kissing her? Well, this is weird. And I was confused why he said he was interested in her, but didn't act like he was interested in her. And this explains it, right?
Okay.
Well, that's my point. There was no reason to like, people in Bachelor Nation, first off, let's establish that the viewership of Bachelor Nation tends to like alpha males and very, very feminine women. That's like what to them men and women should be on TV. Right. And there should be cishet relationships and they're Protestant and all these things that go along with American like cishet relationships.
Right.
Joe made fun of Chris's voice, which I'm guessing a lot of Bachelor Nation took as being effeminate / gay.
Right.
Did you hear that part? Right. You heard that part of Joe doing that.
I honestly didn't notice that. When did that happen?
It was definitely when Chris and Alana were on a date. Joe goes, "I'm Chris," but he's like, "Does like I'm Chris," so like that, and he kind of does the lisp, even though he does not have a lisp.
I did not hear that, but yeah, I don't like that at all. Was this when he and Becca were pretending to be Chris? I think I remember that scene.
I think it was a little bit after that. It was in the dark.
That was during the daytime. So I remember that scene because I thought it was kind of funny that, like, Chris gave a big speech where, like, Alana had the date card and asked him out, and he's like, let's go speak in private about it, and then says yes anyway, and then comes back and is like, I have a gigantic announcement to make. I know a lot of people are going to be upset, but I'm going on this date. And everyone's like, what?
That was pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, Joe was so mean. The really mean side of him came out about everything, and this was it was basically when they're kind of riling each other up to confront Chris when he gets back. It was during that scene. I can cut it out for next week, but I just, Craig, like, there is definitely, we're allowed to talk about the questions that lead us there, because I think at the time you stopped me in my tracks instead of me like exploring why he was being so weird.
Okay, I apologize.
We need to make sure that we're always talking about why Bachelor Nation is talking about the things they're talking about. Doesn't mean we don't agree. I think that's weird. And so, and then I went back and read, because I was like, why is Craig so upset? And then I read that Chris himself put out a tweet that was like, Asian men are often accused of being effeminate. Uh-huh. And I was like, that is the furthest thing from my mind, because that is not what struck me, but I'm guessing the voice is what struck people and not the fact that he's Asian. That seems kind of like a reach too. But I just want to make sure we also, you know, we respect that balance. I think it's important to too.
Right.
Okay. I have seen comments online about trying to figure out why there was such outrage on behalf of the people on the beach over Chris and Elena, but they did not bring that same energy to Brendan and Piper, right? Although I guess we see they might bring some of that energy next week. But, you know, that situation happened first.
Fights back.
Yes. But one of the theories I saw was not only do they feel more comfortable doing this because none of them are actually friends with Chris and Elena, right? That, like, they have no established connections with these people, so it's much easier to gang up on them and basically force them to leave because it's not their actual friend. But right. There was also some comments saying, like, well, is it because Chris is Asian and Brendan is white? And I think maybe there is a factor at play there, right? That they're like, this guy's in the out group. He's not in the in group. So we can go to town on him, you know?
I don't think so. I honestly don't think so. I think he is different than them because they're night one cuts. And in theory,
yeah,
those are less attractive, less fun on camera people. They're different kinds of people.
Wait, you're telling me the guy with the goth hair is less attractive than the other guys?
I'm pretty sure if we aggregate every night one cut versus
paradise?
Every other
cut. I'd like him on paradise.
Well, we gotta get goth guy to paradise. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would be
He'd
good.
Be all scared of the sun.
Also
wearing
confusing
his pure shirt.
Me is that first of all that they did bring all of the anger and energy to Chris that none of them brought to Brendan, even though Brendan did the exact same thing but longer and in a more serious way, right? So that was also something, like, at the very end of the episode Natasha does a to camera interview that's basically like, you know, same thing happened to me, how come no one's rallying around me? And then Demi says a similar thing where she's like, Brendan was actually the worst version of this. So, like, why is he the one who's getting away with it? You know? But I personally very much enjoyed the conversation that Chris and Elena had after, well, you know, she's basically, I also laughed out loud at, you know, and she turns around to be like, does anyone know what I think? And they're like, no, we do not want to know.
Yeah.
And she just kind of walks away and goes into another room, and then he eventually joins her there. The fact that, I mean, this is how you can tell, like, she was a night two cut, not a night one. I Googled because I was like, who the hell is this?
Yeah, first 3 weeks don't matter,
yes,
is what I meant.
And she had, like, zero airtime, and she appeared in two episodes, but she basically was on air for, like, 1 second of the very first episode and never again. So you would not know who she is. But that's also why I think she has no idea how any of this kind of stuff will work, is she seemed to have the idea that if Chris left, she could just still stay. And I'm like, girl, no one is giving you a rose after what just happened down there. Like, if Chris leaves, that's your only shot at, you know, like, he's the only person who would give you a rose. If he leaves, you have to leave with him, because if you go back down there, like, everyone already hates you from this situation. It's not, you'll just stay, like, one more day and then you'll go home. So what would be the point? But she seemed to think that that was, like, a real possibility for a moment, you know, that she was just
she
like, you'll leave me here by myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she was mad at him that he messed up her vacation plans, right? That, like,
yeah, I would be.
But she also didn't think out this very well, I don't think, because if you're gonna pick, they probably could not have foreseen how angry everyone would actually be, but you would have to know there would be at least a little pushback when the girl he had been with before is someone who is much more of, like, a fan favorite and all of the people on the beach are friends with her, you know. Yeah. So you could have thought logically more about that and maybe tried to go for somebody who was less popular or something. But yeah, it was just interesting to me. You know, I mean, the moment when she denies him sharing the car with her at the end. She is so mad at this man. You can tell she does not like him at all. That she was just like,
you know, she flipped the switch.
She did flip the switch, after a huge thing happened. But yeah, in your mind, in it, Chris's mind too, I'm sure.
Yeah, she basically was like, this never again.
super sad thing is like his kind of like give up look. You know, when that happened. And he had to shut the door. I would have been like, what? Like, I would have said something, but that's not Chris.
I
anyway,
would have too. So, in that, like, you know, he had to leave because of her coming in and this whole situation happening too. So it's not just like he messed up her vacation plans. She also messed up his vacation plans.
Well, that kind of brings me to like, these two episodes kind of invalidate the point of any analysis. You know, they broke the fourth wall. They talk about what's happening outside of this show, and they talk about Instagram a lot. Right. And so what's the point if they're going to meet, you know, so this is around the time where producers have to, again, put their heads together and refigure it out as they have with two other spinoff shows that kind of got hacked. So I have a lot of, they can't keep this going. This is too complicated.
Yes or no? I mean, I imagine a lot of viewers liked this week's episodes. I mean, it can't all be Demi crying over being used. I mean, you got to.
Craig, that's been popular media for 500 years. It's like, woman gets sad, tries sex, didn't work. Demi. So
Demi,
I can't.
Can we talk about Demi? I want to talk about Demi. It fits into my ethics conversation. I'm not quite sure how, but I feel like it does. Like, she wants to come across as this, you know, nihilistic, I only do what pleasures me.
A nihilist, a hedonist.
Yeah. Well, I think that don't hedonism and nihilism sort of go together?
No. I think she wants to come across as, you know, she's a fun time party girl who loves to stir stuff up, you know?
But in the end...
But in philosophical terms.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Hedonist.
Yeah.
She's a hedonist. She's
I feel like there's a paper that could be written about Demi. That's all I'm trying to say.
I don't think so. They're pretty a dime a dozen, though.
Well, that's just it. She's such a prevalent archetype that shouldn't we try to figure her out?
There's not much to figure out. I mean, she can only communicate through sex. She thinks that everything is gettable through sex. And she has placed her value on her sexual prowess. And so when that doesn't compute, she breaks down and reverts to like child mode and like freak out. Yeah. So I there's not much there except that her mom abandoned her. And so she has no way to communicate to
her mom went to jail for fraud or something, right?
Yeah, I think it was fraud or money laundering or something.
There were some other issues before that, because if someone goes to jail, I don't consider that abandoning, but I think there was actual abandonment by her father.
Yeah, her dad was not in the picture at all from what it seems, and then her mom was in jail, so she was kind of, you know, foisted around on other family members, etc. Like, I felt bad for Demi in these two episodes because of the moments when she proposes to Kenny to go to the Boom Boom Room, and the first time she does it, he says he's too tired, and I was like, oh, the secondhand embarrassment I felt, like, I was like, I would shrivel up and die if this were me, but, like, I just asked a man who I had previously had sex with and been flirting with if they would like to have sex again, and they were like, no thanks. Like, I'd be like, well, I would just never ask again. But she asks again, and I was like, oh, Demi.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, I just... And to be fair, I don't, like, at the moment when she asked him the second time, he was flirting with her, absolutely. Like, he was being like, oh, you look good today, and this kind of stuff. So he, it was not out of nowhere, but...
No, but she has
I think you are right that she... But yeah, she was sort of like, this is the only move she knows how to pull, is to be like, well, let's go have sex. Right. And if that doesn't work, she has no other tricks that she feels like she could rely on. You know what I mean? Like, she
Kenny...
Yeah, yeah, she doesn't see any other move to play there. And I'm like, oh, girl, oh, no. Like, you need more therapy than you've gotten so far, because, like, you're very pretty. You're really funny at times. You know, like, you have other stuff. It doesn't have to be just boning 24/7. That's not the only value that you could bring in a relationship. But it definitely came across that it was like, the sex is what we have to do for me to, like, you know, to feel like I've gotten a solid hold on the situation. To keep a hold of Kenny, I must be boning him 24/7.
Well, I do have, like, a shred of sympathy for her, but when she plays, or she is, the mean girl, and she really, really, tramples on people, and I'm not talking about Mari, I'm saying just in general, it's hard to have. I mean, yes, she's a hurt person, so she's gonna go out there and hurt people, but she doesn't have to be mean also, you know. They can be casualties. They don't have to be murders. Like, I'm so confused with her, with her, like, so vindictive. So she's...
Yes, I know what you mean, is that she was sort of like... I mean, that conversation where basically, like, Kenny and Mari decide to get back together, which also is in and of itself somewhat baffling to me, but sure, you do, I guess. You do what you want to do. And there's that extremely funny quote... that Mari says, and I assume it came from a different point in the season and they just choose to play it here because it's so funny. But I'm gonna go back to see, like, when exactly this happened. It's right the day after the VIP tight ass party, and when Tammy is confronting Chris and he's doing his sad alone boy walk on the beach, and she's like, what did you do? And then they swing to Mari saying in, like, an interview to camera, communication is key. That's what I love about my and Kenny's relationship. We really have great communication when things pop up. It's like, that was the whole problem with you and Kenny's relationship. So that was just very funny to me. But after that whole that happens, and Kenny goes down to have a breakup conversation with Demi, the way she spirals in that moment, is what you're saying, Yuzia, right? Where she's throwing everything at the wall in terms of being like, you know, she's saying these things about Mari, which are so, like, they're childish in the way that, you know, she basically just says, like, Mari's a mean girl and she's not fun and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, you don't really need to do that, but it's sort of whatever. But it did seem like she was, like, de-aging as you watched, that she was just, like, she hid behind her hair at one point.
De-aging.
Yeah, it was just so, it was so uncomfortable to watch, because I was like, oh no, oh Demi, don't do this. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the hair in front of the face was, what's the term that you used earlier, when you're embarrassed?
Secondhand embarrassment.
Embarrassment.
Yeah. I carry some embarrassing thing. Anyway.
Well, Kenny showed a lot of restraint, because he could have had sex with Demi again and still gotten back together with Mari, but he didn't.
He could have had sex with Demi there, like, 8 times that. And gotten back with Mari, apparently.
He did it already.
Yeah, but who Craig, wants to have sex with somebody? Who wants to have sex with somebody once? You'd want to do it a few times. The first time's never great, right? Because you're sort of getting used to each other. You need a few times to work out the kinks.
Well, you know what? He said no. So that's the part of Kenny. that is divorced from Craig and jumps off the maturity level.
Oh, that's the difference between me and Kenny, is Kenny bails out after one sex.
Yeah.
Kenny, we talked about this last time, how he's reminds, he has like a very you feel, like he gets, but there's, but then there's the part where you're like, but look, he's very mature. look at this guy. No, I'm kidding. But it's just, it's you know, I get it. Demi's a lot. Demi comes with a lot. When you have that second sex with Demi, you are going to get your head ripped off, right?
You thought better of it.
Warn her again. Yeah. So I knew, he knew what he was doing.
I think what he realized at a certain point, right, is that he probably shouldn't have had sex with Demi that first time.
Well, because... but see, that's just it. Like, that's where I differ. See, he should have. He did. But you can't go back. You don't take it back.
He can't go back on it, but he did sort of do it out of, like, it was a very spur of the moment, you know, like, he had just broken up with Mari, and he's like, this is who I am now. I'm all in Demi, right? And goes to the boom boom room, but then realizes after several more days when it's both, he has a ton of options.
Right.
There are multiple women on this beach fighting for Kenny, which is interesting in and of itself. Honestly, like, he's an attractive man, especially for 40, but it is just funny that there's, like, you know, he's got at least three women who want to be with him. And I think at that point he starts to realize, like, he can have his pick of the litter. Does he want to continue kind of pursuing things with Demi, knowing that if he goes back in that boom boom room, it's going to get messier and messier when things end with them. And I think he saw the writing on the wall being like, it's gonna end with me and Demi. We're not leaving here engaged. So how do I extricate myself somewhat delicately?
Yeah.
And he could have done it even more delicately. But yeah, I think that's why he was kind of like, no thanks, I'm too tired tonight. I'm washing my hair, etc.
It was really funny when she was like, and you had sex with me. I couldn't help it. Think of when Tia was like, did you ever?
Oh my gosh, yes. Or like Nick Vial when he talks about having sex with Andy or whatever. Right.
Why did you make love to me?
Yeah, which is still such a funny, I didn't even watch that season, but I've seen that clip and the phrasing of it will still always crack me up. It's like, why'd you make love with me if you weren't in love with me?
Right.
It's like, well, Nick, you're a man in like your late 20s at that point. You know why people do that if they're not in love with you. Come on, get a clue. That situation was interesting because I really did not see Kenny getting back together with Mari, honestly. I didn't think that he'd go back there, but I guess he was really into her because, yeah, like she blew that up in a way that like it didn't. They would have never had any of these issues. And he's kind of like, well, I don't trust you 100%, but come here, we're dating again. You know,
well,
it's
I'm
like,
telling
what?
You, it would be hilarious if another guy came down next week and that was the guy that Mari was waiting for.
Oh, awesome. My God. It's some night one guy that we've never seen in our lives.
Yeah, that would make this show like the best show ever if that happened. All right, if you're listening, producers, make that happen. Retroactively.
Yeah, also somewhat confusing to me, as we saw last week, it appeared that Abigail and Noah had broken up over this conversation that seemed like it kind of came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
But then on Monday night's episode, they get back together in like under a second, basically. It's like, oh, it turns out we're both just bad at communicating. Anyway, we're dating again. And I was like, wait, what?
Well, they're made for each other. I mean...
Well, isn't that the like day drinking breakup like we talked about last week? That's why it seemed like that. Like it was like, look, we said some things while drinking all day and we were dehydrated. Let's never get dehydrated again.
And that's how you make a relationship work, folks. You stay hydrated the whole time.
It's true. Do not get in a bad mood. Do not get like a headache, you know, when it comes to drinking, and you will be fine because she lashed out. Makes sense to me.
Did you ever go on spring break when you were in college?
Me? No, I did not have that college experience. I mean, I went to plenty of parties, but not like whatever rich kids do, like go to Mexico or go to Texas or whatever.
I went to Florida. I wasn't rich, but I went to Florida.
Well, that's what comparatively, yes, that's rich.
I mean, it was like
my situation in college. Yes,
you're right. I could take off for a week and go to Florida. I didn't have a job. Well, I did have a job, but I didn't have a job that I couldn't take off from a week and go to Florida. But it was like six guys crammed in a car driving down to Florida. You know what I mean? Well, anyway, it's just really, really, really hot and you're drinking all day. So lots of day drinking shenanigans happen.
Yes. This is on Love Island on the UK version where they call it like a lad's trip or whatever.
A lad's trip.
Yeah, which is crazy. They're like, lad's trip, lad's going on vacation.
Have you ever seen that movie Go?
Yeah. No. The Katie Holmes movie. Yeah.
There's a guy who comes from England and he wants to do sex tourism. And so he comes to America, but he goes to Wisconsin. But it all
like when people want to go to Thailand, like for.
No, he's like, oh, I'm going to go party in America, you know, and meet all the hot.
Like sleep their way through a bunch of stuff. Oh.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to party with like the hottest American babes, and he picks Wisconsin. I'm pretty sure that's the movie Go.
Yeah, I mean, if he went to like Madison, he'd still be able to do that. It just wouldn't be on a beach.
Right.
Not in the early 90s. Not before it got weird and gentrified. Anyone else? We have Becca, we have Kendall, we have blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Whatever.
Just because I know some of our listeners in the Midwest are probably going to jump through the earphone and correct us. There are beaches in Wisconsin and that area. It's just they're lake beaches.
Yeah, it's a different thing. It's a different vibe than an ocean beach. Well, I want to say one thing about the Kendall and Joe business, which is that I really identified with Kendall when they have that conversation, like they go over to that day bed or whatever, and they're kind of rehashing their breakup. And Joe says, in like an accusatory tone, you told me you never wanted to move for a man. And I was like, hell yeah, that's exactly the thing that I've said to people and also feel. So I am with you on this, Kendall, that like, to me, I was sort of like, yeah, Joe is entirely blaming Kendall for the end of their relationship is what it sounds like. Where the flip side of it is, he wanted her to move to a place she didn't want to move to.
Right.
Like that's, it happens, you know what I mean? Like, it's not the end of the world. This kind of thing does happen. But you're making it sound like, you know, she wasn't even willing to try. And it was like, well, maybe because she knew she'd be really unhappy there. So she just never wanted to do it. And, like, that's okay. I don't know why you're still holding anger about that.
They could live in Nebraska or something.
He seems very, that seems like a very manipulative talk. If that's a representation of their relationship, because he just seemed to say, look, maybe you'll go there for a little bit. Maybe you'll like it. And it's like, no, the lady already told you no, you know, that she told you no. And then and it's manipulative of him to say, look, I'm not just some guy. I'm Joe. Like, it's like, no, you literally are some guy. Like, that's exactly who she's talking about.
He is the definition of some guy.
Yeah. I think it is the best idea ever to live where you want and find a job. I don't care if it's not your life's calling or some shit. Live where you want to live and then find a job that works. Because I've had it up to here with people who are just telling me, I don't want to live here, but like my job's here. It's like, nope. No, it's not. Your job is wherever you make it. And that was pre-pandemic. Now, post-pandemic, I even have more of a right to say that. And I'm talking, obviously, I'm not talking about like migrant workers or whatever. I'm talking about yuppies or whatever they call them now, like complaining about the nice ass place where they have to live, where it has good, you know, and they're always telling me, oh my God, I can't believe I have to be here with blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, you don't. And they know they don't. So now they're at a point where they know they don't have
to. Who are these people that you're talking to?
You know who I'm talking about, actually, Craig? You know what
I do.
Is numb tots. Specifically, numb tots.
Where are you running into numb tots on a regular basis, though?
So numb tots means new urbanist memes for transit-oriented teens. And it started off kind of as a interesting lefty group, right? Now it's full-blown neoliberal Reaganomics 2.0. and they mask themselves as liberal because their identity politics washed. So these people are exactly who I'm.
So you're running into these people on Facebook, not in real life?
Well, I do know some numb-tot adjacent people. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's just call them gentrifiers.
All right.
So I just, in that way, I think it is such a great thing to just stay where you want to stay. That way, the basis of your complaints, like that's the basis of everyone's complaints. Oh, the weather. Oh, my house. Oh, this. Do be where you want to be. Yeah. And then like launch your life.
Yeah.
Cause I can't take it any. Like, I'm so sick of that conversation.
Yeah.
In this day and age.
For as somebody who lived in Maine, which is as far from LA as you could possibly get, I understand what you're saying. You got to put yourself where you want to be and then work out the rest. In fact, that's how you should meet somebody too. If you want to meet get a significant other, put yourself where you find those qualities. Like if you want somebody who's a foodie, go to the grocery store or go to a food festival.
That's totally true. I mean, people do that all the time on higher levels, right? Like, I want to meet a rich, hot something, dude or woman or whatever. So I'm going to dress up in fancy clothes and I'm going to do that. But there's, then I'm like, I complain all the time. Why don't none of my boyfriends like horror movies? Well, I don't really go to horror things. I don't dress like that because I think it's weird and I don't want to dress like that. So yeah, like I've been there, right? Where I'm like, how come I never meet anyone who likes my same interest if I don't participate in my own interests? Like I get that. Yeah, it totally makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, Caitlin, my heart's not really in fashion, but if you have fashion, I'll play along.
There was no good fashion in these two episodes, and I was looking. The only notable thing to say is that at one point when Joe was wearing his little Adidas slides, he was not wearing his little socks with them.
Okay, good.
Because you could see his toes this one time. So who knows if they're coming back or not.
EZR doesn't like sandals.
EZR, it's going to be a lot worse for you next week because the previews have shown us already that Marissa is going to eat whipped cream off of Riley's toes.
Ew.
Yep.
Oh,
and I saw that and I was like, listen, I honestly actually like these two as a couple for the most part, but I don't want to see that. I want to see especially it ever. I don't want to see anybody doing it.
Man. Women
men's
maybe
in particular.
I can
hideous.
Feel better about it, but gross. Yeah.
Yeah, just bad. Ooh, one fun thing to mention, not related to fashion, but I just enjoyed this moment, is on Chris and Elena's date. While they're doing their weird, like, how do we best make out and position our bodies for making out thing, the camera pans to the side and there's two dogs eating the food on their plate. I love that.
I thought those were coyotes. I was like, damn, there's coyotes there. I'd be scared.
I think they're like little shepherd dogs. Like, they look to me like, the breed I'm thinking of, like Australian heeler dogs or whatever. I think they're like, I think they're dogs that are kind of wild dogs, but they're not coyotes.
Right.
Okay.
Those dogs have of their lives.
They were on that's a date they should have followed. I got one thing that I forgot to say because Craig, sometimes you ask questions like, how is that going to happen? And it happens. Becca getting a date card out of nowhere, right? Producer rules. Why would you get a date card? But the fact that Becca ended up with the only guy that didn't reject Katie, but Katie rejected first, is kind of backing up the Becca-Katie-are-so-similar-in-seasons theory.
Right.
So, and I know you're defending Aaron right now. So let's never forget that Becca actually asked Thomas. In general, you're saying that like Aaron's always picking. I don't know. I felt like maybe. Okay, never mind. But
hard to say. I go both ways.
Say, who knows what actually happened here? But I just don't want to forget that Becca asked Thomas when Aaron starts saying, "You took my woman again." You know,
right.
It was all Becca. So,
yes.
Okay.
We know inevitably that Aaron is going to say something to Thomas about this, but Becca did choose Thomas specifically, and the producers gave her that date card while Aaron was on another date, so Aaron wasn't even an option
for her to
take if she had wanted to. It had to be somebody else.
True. See, easy. I thought you were going to bring up that Mike Hanna made a comeback.
Yes, I meant to bring this up.
I didn't even see her
you
face.
You love McKenna. You love
I do
her.
Not. This
Craig,
is a rumor
she's your
that...
favorite love. Woman on these shows.
No.
You love her.
EZR started
you love
this
her
rumor.
And Hannah.
It's not true.
I'll find the... I have the receipts. I didn't even see her face. I know her hair was dyed, or was that just the... about? I think her hair was dyed darker. But
I was darker.
Like...
Might have also been
kinda,
the lighting.
Yeah, I kind of had, like, I thought she was Kit for a long time. I mean, it took me a long time, like, until this morning to divorce those two. Wait a minute.
Yeah, no, that, they have kind of a similar hair and similar style stuff going on. Yeah, she was there, and I don't know if she's going to get on the beach at all or not, because the only things you saw from her at the party was, like, her dancing in the background of Crab
Shots. Yeah, she didn't have any... role, basically.
I couldn't even verify that it was her. I did not see her.
Okay. Follow us on social media.
See y'all on Lads Holiday.
Yeah, we're gonna we'll do a Lads Holiday. Okay, see you next week.
Bye.